Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 10, the divine glories of Vibhuti Yoga. And we obviously have started this chapter by Bhagavan saying, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha, Matta Sarva Pravartate. I am the origin of all, and everything is pervaded by me. So there should not be any confusion that anything I see is different than the God, including my own self and yourself and herself and his self. Sentient and insentient world, the world of matter, the world of living beings, everything is pervaded by me, Bhagavan said. However, Arjuna said, but how can I understand this? Because Bhagavan also said, Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha, whose intellect is steady, one who can see through the reality as is, cannot see the difference between you and I, cannot see the difference between I and the world. But right now, because I'm under the spell of Maya, which divides my world into this is me and that's the world, and I do not know who the Lord is. So Bhagavan said, the one who does this with devotion and worship me, I give him the Buddhi Yoga. That divine Buddhi, which can see this unity in all, which removes this parallax of plurality, where I see myself as something other than this world and something other than the Lord Self. Bhagavan said, one who with that equanimous mind, worship me, I give you that. So Arjuna's question is, okay, I would like to have that divine buddhi, the divine vision. But at this time of my life when I'm a seeker, I'm seeking the Lord's grace. How should I meditate upon you? Because I have not reached a point where I can see you in everyone and everywhere. Because something which is non-conducive to us, our mind will not accept that as divine. Or that's a God's doing, or God's presence. That's why we have a clear demarcation between good and evil in our mind. This is how we want to see the world, clearly defined between good and evil. But we have seen in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna was confused, that good comes with little evil and evil comes with little good. How can I separate the two? Therefore, Bhagavan said, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha matta sarva pravartate. Everything that you see, good, evil and bad, is all my expression. One who can see that through will see me as is. And he said, such a person I gave this Buddha Yoga. So now Arjuna said, okay, I want to achieve that, but how can I? At this time, I'm not capable of it. So you tell me, in whatever the whatever different form, I can worship you. The Bhagavan said, okay, I will describe to you where you can see the divinity much easier. And that's where 75, you know, examples given where you can see the divinity. And we are programmed to see the divinity in excellence. So therefore he says, it will be easier for you to see the divinity in the highest of all the categories. So we have seen the various categories, and we also seen that this is basically a journey from Vedas to Puranas. Arjuna, being the product of a Vedic age, he was given examples from the Vedas marching down to the Puranas. So what is Purana? There are 20 Puranas or 18 Puranas. Each one basically was started out as the history of a dynasties of the kings, but then people who added into it mythological stories to convey the spiritual ideas of Upanishads and Vedas. So they became more than history, a scriptural text. So examples are given both from Vedas and the Puranas. So verse 28 says, Ayudhanam aham vajram. continuing from the stories of the Puranas, Devas and Danavas constantly fighting in the Puranas. Because as I said, human mind wants to see a clear demarcation between good and evil. So all of our Puranas are probably one of the most imaginative works. It boggles my mind that people could imagine things 5,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, which even for us, very difficult to imagine. So there is a clear demarcation in Puranas about Daityas and Devas, Devas and Danavas, the constant fight between Devas and Danavas, each one trying to take over the world, each one trying to take over the territories. And as we have seen, symbolically, it is our own inner struggle. Constantly, our mind is churning with both the good thoughts and bad thoughts. There is a constant struggle in our mind of taking over our mental zone. Either it takes over with the negative, and the positive tries to push back, or positive tries and negative pushes back. Depending on what our inner strength is, one or other will take over mental zone. This is obviously Puranic story, somewhat, you know, describe this inner struggle in the form of a Devas and Danavas fighting. And obviously it's not that the only Devas will have strength, Danavas have their own strength. Our evil thoughts have as much strength as our good thoughts are. We both are fueled by our own consciousness. So Bhagavan says, Danavas became so powerful that Devas were helpless. And you remember, what they are all trying to get is Indra's Indrasana. That was their ultimate trophy. We want to get the Indra's Indrasana. And Indrasana is only given to the one who has the most qualities, or one who does the most tapas. So if Danavas do more tapas and reaches a point, that he is going to take over. So here, obviously, Danavas will become so powerful that Indra's Indrasana was in a danger. The solution was found that he can be killed by Vajra, the weapon made not of any metal, but a human bone, which is of a particular Rishi who has gained so much of a power by his meditation. So Rishi Dadichi. These are obviously very imaginative stories, and you can enjoy at any level. You can enjoy at the story level, they're fascinating stories. And there are multitudes of them, so it can take your lifetime to read all the Puranas. But Dadichi Rishi volunteered to give his rib to make Vajra. And that is the strongest weapon in the world, that it cannot be broken by anything. Something which was not to be annihilated by any other weapon. And that's how the Devas then win the war against Vritasura, Asura who had become so powerful. So Bhagavan says, Ayudhanam Aham Vajraha. Among all the weapon, I'm Vajra. Today it will say, I am the atomic power among the all the weapons, or something like that, or hydrogen bomb among all the weapons. Something similar. So among the weapon, I am the Vajra. Dhenunam Asmi Kamadhak. Among the cows, I'm a Kamadhenu. And obviously, again, it's a Puranic story. Came out of the churning of the ocean. Many things came out. We have said Uccheshava, the horse came, a flying horse, that many trunk elephant called Airavat, but also this cow came out. And this cow has this peculiar quality that it can give you whatever your mind desires, not just the milk. The symbolic significance is when you churn your mind, the mind can achieve a siddhi, which can allow you to achieve anything in your world. If your mind is focused enough, then it will become its own kamadhenu. It will allow you to achieve any success in your life. Somewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, it also says, Bhagavan says, this yajna spirit, I have given you, and the time of creating this world of human beings, I have also created the yajna, which becomes your kamadhenu. So yajna is the cooperative endeavors. When I do something not for my selfish desire, but do it for the greater good, is that you can achieve anything you want. Bhagavan says that's a kamadhenu. given to all the beings. By myself, to achieve myself, I have a limitation. But when I want to achieve things for the greater good with the help of all the other fellow beings, we can achieve great things. So that's another way Bhagavan is explaining Kama. You know, cow in that culture obviously was extremely important. That's why cow is sacred. The life was dependent on cows. Cow gave everything to that society. The milk or the nourishment to the cow dung for the energy source. Cow dung as the building material for medication. So the life depended on the cow and therefore it was sacred. But there is the Kamadhenu who can give everything. Then nothing is left out. Bhagavan says, among the Dhenu, I am Kamadhenu. Prajanaschasmi Kandarpaha. Among those who procreates, you know, I am Kandarpa. Without that inner urge for satisfying your desire for sex, there won't be any creation. That is personified in our scriptures as Kandarpa. The desire to satisfy your kama is the Kandarpa, is the Kamadev. The Kamadev with, as the Puranic story, he has a bow and arrow with five-tipped arrow with five flowers on it. Once that hits you, you're done. It smothers all your five senses. You can't think of anything else but that. That's why we hear the people who achieve so greatness and fall down so badly. But, as Bhagavan said, once the Kamadev's arrow is hit, you lose all your senses. All your buddhi is nullified at that point. And I said, that's what creates this continuity of this nature. The nature continues is longing for life from the Kamadev or Kandarpa. So he said, among those who procreate, I am Kandarpa. I am that urge in all of you. So you can see now, Hinduism has not excluded anything as not good. Everything is good in its own place. Sarpanam asmi vasukihi. Again, going back to the Puranic story of churning the ocean. Vasuki was that rope, a churning rope. Vasuki volunteered that I'll be the churning rope. Obviously, you can imagine it is the, you know, Vasuki is always in a Shiva's, the little finger is the ring. Shiva's all ornaments are sarpas, all the snakes. Snake represents our mind. Our ornament, Shiva, the consciousness. What's his ornament? My mind, it's his ornament. Mind is seeking outside, it's poisonous. But seeking towards the Lord, it becomes divine. The Vasuki, the smallest of Sarpa in Shiva's ornament, volunteer on the biggest of the task, where the whole ocean was to be churned, which is also, Swamiji explained, that is also exemplified that I am the smallest of the small and the biggest of the big. Smallest of snake volunteers for the biggest of the task and become that big. Rises to the level so that it can perform the big task. How smaller we may feel, but when we have the higher goal, the Bhagavan says, you can rise to the highest level. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Sarpanam asmi Vasuki. Among the snakes, I am Vasuki. There is a difference between Sarpa and Naga. Those who are hooded are Nagas. Those are no hood is snakes. That's how we say, right, Balabhai, in Gujarat? Okay. That's how we differentiate. We call it sap when there is no hood. With a nag when there's a hood, which is cobra. Cobra is a hood. Snake doesn't have a hood. But I guess in Purana's perspective, there is a multi-headed nagas and single-headed sarpas. Vishnu's Sheshashaya, Sheshanag, is the multi-headed naga. Sarpanam asmi vasukahi. Among the sarpas, I'm the smallest of the small, but can do the biggest of the task. So I'm vasuki. Anantascha asmi nagana. We have seen the analogy of a sarpa, the next with a naga. cobra is a nag with a hood. In this case, is a multi-headed snake, is Ananta, is the greatest among the great. And that's the Anantanaga who is the Bhagavan's Sheshashaya. Varuno Yadasamaham, among the waters and Varuna. We always personify the deity of each element. And obviously, element water is very, very essential to the life. So there got to be a deity who controls that. And that's a Varuna Devata in a Purana. It's among the waters I'm a Varuna. Pitrunam Aryama Chasmi. Among the Pitrulok, I'm Aryama. Again, this is Puranic stories. We believe there are different states of existence. So that means there are different lokas. Different worlds in which we live. We are right now living in Mrityulok, the mortal world where there is a birth and death. Then there are several loka, Gauloka, Gandharvaloka, Devaloka, Swargaloka, and one of them is Pitruloka. The idea being that when this ego, jiva, leaves this body, because all it is living its own house, is permanently moving out, saying, I'm done. This house is no good. I need to move out. Well, there should be a place where it can park itself. That place is called Pitruloka. So where are all my ancestors? Bhagavan says they're in Pitruloka. So they live in the Pitruloka, time being, and then takes the birth again. That Pitruloka obviously have to have its own ruler, own controller, just like our loka. And Aryama is the ruler of Pitruloka. And Aryama is one of the sons of Adityas. Aditi's sons are Adityas. Aditya's sons, one of them is Aryama. He is the controller of the Pitruloka. These are obviously mythological stories, and you can see it as anywhere you see. But when my mind and intellect is disassociated with the body, it's still controlled by something. And in the Pitruloka, it is controlled by Aryama. Yamaha Sanyamatam Aham. And among the controllers, I'm Yama. There are things in my life which controls me. And fear is probably one of the greatest controller. I may feel like slapping you, but just looking at you that you are 6.5 feet tall, and much more powerful than me, I may control myself. What is the greatest fear of my life? Death. I'll cease to exist. So the Lord of Death, as we have seen, everything in Hinduism is personified. If there is an event or an experience or a happening, there must be a controller of that event, that experience or happening. Death is an experience for all of us, in this Mrityuloka, in this mortal world, there must be a controller of that experience. And therefore that controller is called Yama. Yama is to organize, is to control. Now you can imagine, none of us die ever. What will happen to the population? We are 7 billion now. All my ancestors from 5,000 years ago, they are still alive. We will have complete chaos. I've seen deaths in my family, and looking at their wills and looking at their assets and all that, I said, God, if this person had to leave for another 50 years, the asset may not have been good enough. So this death is a great controller of our ecosystem, our world. Therefore, Yama is the greatest among all the controllers. So Bhagavan said, among the controllers, I am the Yama, the controller of death. And the last verse says, Prahladahascha asmi daityanam. Among the daityas, I am Prahlad. All of you know the story of Prahlad. He was the son of a daitya, but devoted to Vishnu. Aditi's sons are Aditya. Diti's sons are daityas. They both are the same origin. One became Adityas, one became daityas. So they are basically cousins. Now how can we, the cousins, be completely opposite? But because of their mental tendencies. I and my brothers are very different people. Because my tendencies are different than my brothers. Daityas and Adityas, they differ in tendencies as Prabhupuranas. One are spiritual, others are materialistic. So Daityas are described in Puranas as materialistic people. Therefore, all the stories about the Rakshasas has the most glorious kingdoms. Raman, Jarasandha, all of them has glorious kingdoms. Great material wealth. Great achievements in material wealth. Who had the first aeroplane in our Puranas? Ravana, Puspak Vima. See, we didn't have aeroplanes before he had it. This scientific achievement in the material world was the greatest on their side. So always there is a fight between Daityas and Adityas. One thing, the spiritual glory is the greatest. One thing, the material glory is the greatest. So you can tell where we are, in which world we are. Prahlada cha asmi daityanam. Even living in the material world, I can be devoted to the Lord. Prahlada is the greatest of the examples. Growing up in that material wealth, and in that environment with nothing but the materialistic values, were only worshipped. He recognized the value of recognizing the Lord. So Prahlada actually is supposed to be our role model. That even though we are surrounded by these materialistic values, we should be devoted to the Lord. That will save you. Everything else gets destroyed, but Prahlad remains intact. Kalaha kalayatam aham. I am the time among all reckoners. That which I measure is my past, present, and future. I am that constantly flowing time. Now obviously, these are the concepts of our Vedic rishis. The time is constantly flowing from one direction to another without stopping infinitely. Time is singular entity flowing infinitely. You and I, with our limited intellect, divide that time into past, present, and future and make it finite. Well, I want a limited time. Well, let's get it done. But time itself is infinite. Among the reckoners who recognize time, I'm time itself, which is infinite. Has no beginning, no end. Mruganam cha mrugendro aham. Easy to understand. Among the animals, I am the lion. A lion is the king of the jungle, lion king. Vainate yascha pakshinam. And among the birds, I'm an eagle. Obviously, we know why. Both has the most strength. So they are considered the best among those two. So continuing from the Puranic story to coming down to our day-to-day experiences of animals, and probably you can see that India was more forested and they had to always deal with those. So he said, among them I'm the best among the best. So, O Arjuna, if you have to meditate upon me, think about anything which is the best which you can see in the world.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.